Mosul, northern Iraq. Soon the Americans begin their pullout. But the war here is far from over. Unlike in other parts of the country, the number of attacks remains high.
Some are saying that when the Americans leave, that militias will use force to change the government. When I asked, is that a civil war, they said, yes, that will be a civil war.
Iraq's rival ethnic groups are fighting over this oil-rich territory. And we discover ancient minorities who have lived here for thousands of years are now on the brink of being driven out of Iraq for good. Mosul, a city of 2 million people, has been a centre of Arab resistance to the Americans since the invasion in 2003. On its outskirts, Camp Mares is the base for US troops in northern Iraq. By August, half of the 100,000 American soldiers still in Iraq will have been withdrawn. Most are already confined to base, but here we quickly find out they're still on the streets.
Good back here.
This is our first attempt to go into the city of Mosul itself, and the only way we can go in safely is in a military convoy like this, and the dangers are very real. Just yesterday there was a vehicle bomb at the federal police headquarters here and killed one and injured more than 30 people.
As we drove into the city, the route was lined with flattened buildings that have not been rebuilt since the invasion. 7 years on, this remains the most dangerous city in Iraq. We were with a unit of the US 3rd Infantry Division tasked with training up the Iraqi police to cope with the violence after the Americans leave.
There was a murder here just a few hours ago, and the Americans are here to try and, they say, improve the Iraqi police methods of investigation.
The Iraqi police and military are now the first people on the scene of murders. The officer said a man had been gunned down in his mechanic shop.
Two young men came in shouting Allah Akbar and shot the man, the mechanic here, and he died straight away.
There were
checkpoints around here and nobody had done anything. And those two people just walked by, just like nothing happened, and they disappeared.
An anonymous eyewitness told the unit that the two gunmen had allegedly escaped in full view of police checkpoints nearby. He said he thought he knew why the victim had been killed.
The officer saying that an Islamic militant group had been demanding payment from this guy and he'd refused to pay. We've just heard there's been another murder up the road. We'll go up there now.
Attacks occur daily. Sunni insurgents want this area to remain unstable. It's their way of fighting what they see as the domination of Iraq by the Shia Muslim ruling majority. Mosul also lies on the fault line between the Arab and Kurdish parts of Iraq. In this tense atmosphere, the Americans told us 50 murders are occurring every month. We drove to an industrial area in the south of the city.
You just see a pool of blood on the street there. The officers are trying to collect what information they can.
Colonel Hussein was the police officer in charge.
So the colonel saying that this is an empty area, that these buildings are empty around us, and they've obviously, he says they brought the person here and they killed him just 3 hours ago.
The unidentified victim had been found earlier by an Iraqi army unit.
The army actually found the guy first, and they're saying, actually, we washed the site after they collected the body and took it to the morgue. So they're saying it's not really a pure crime scene anymore.
The colonel told us the man had been killed with a single shot to the head.
Clearly it was an execution. He thinks he was probably brought here to this very empty quarter of the city, so very much an execution.
With any possible evidence already washed from the scene, it seemed unlikely the killers will ever be found. Colonel Sanders is the US officer in charge of the training.
I think our way ahead is our team's going to go back and put together what they've seen today and come back with some recommendations.
What have you assessed from seeing the forces in play?
Okay, this is our first day with this new initiative that we have going. We've analyzed that we need some work on evidence collection, evidence analysis, and then also to come to an agreement on what happens at a crime scene.
We went to police headquarters. Last year, Iraqi forces took over responsibility for the security of Iraq. Now, Americans accompany them on missions only when invited. As they prepare to leave, US troops are focused largely on training.
So this is an exercise to teach the guys how to stop and search a vehicle and an individual.
Despite the continuing violence here, Iraq is meant to be moving from a state of war to civil policing. But it's not common criminals that will be their biggest challenge.
Do the police then, in a way, become more of a front line against the insurgents, even more than the army?
Oh, I would say so. Now, the army's out there and they're needed there, no doubt. But the police become that front line. Those are the connection to the people in the neighborhoods.
We wanted to know if the Iraqi police here felt ready to deal with the situation in Mosul.
The Americans are going to leave soon. What's going to happen as a result of the Americans leaving?
Mohammed's answer was shocking. It wasn't the insurgents he was worried about. He feared that when the Americans left, democracy would collapse and the Shia would seize complete control.
In the future, then the Sunnis and the Kurds and the Christians would all have their military forces, their militias, and everybody would be fighting everybody. And when I asked, is that a civil war? They said, yes, that would be a civil war. Assalamu alaikum.
We went next door to find out if the commander shared their pessimism.
And the Americans are about to leave in a few months' time. What's going to be the major challenge for you as police officers or for the region?
He said things had been very difficult following the invasion.
But hopefully by the time the Americans leave later in the year, we will be in a position where we've got enough resources to manage the situation properly and that we'll be able to cope with the next phase.
We asked who's doing the killings. Colonel Hussein told us he felt most of the killings here are political, not criminal. He said Al-Qaeda was trying to cause division between Kurds, Sunnis and Shia, and was also targeting some of Mosul's oldest ethnic minorities, such as the Christians, Shabaks and Yazidis, to cause fear and chaos. Northern Iraq has been home to this uneasy mix of ethnic and religious groups for thousands of years. But it seems the latest phase of the war has exposed them to a new level of violence. We asked the Americans to take us to meet some of the minorities under attack, but they said it was too dangerous.
So we've been contacted by a representative of one of the small minorities who live in this area. It's too dangerous for us to get to him outside the US embed. They won't take us there. And it's also dangerous for him to come in here. So we've arranged to meet just on the outskirts of the US base here.
The men were Yazidis, a group which has its own distinct 4,000-year religion and culture in this region. They handed me a catalogue of attacks, killings and intimidation. The group's leader told us all the minorities felt vulnerable.
What they're saying is that they feel the minorities, the Yazidis and Christians and Shabaks in particular, are the ones that are really suffering the brunt of the violence here in Iraq.
They said they were taking a risk talking to us and wanted to hide their identity to avoid retribution. Three of the men said they were among 30 Yazidis recently held by Kurdish separatists. They spent 3 weeks in a tiny cell, an ordeal designed to intimidate. They said they'd also been attacked by Sunni Arabs, and many of their community had been killed. They were being threatened by both sides.
Many Yazidis have either left the country or converted to Islam or actually live in fear because of who they are.
Before they left, they told us the violence had become so great, all Yazidis would leave Iraq if they could. We went out on another US patrol. 25 miles east of Mosul, we stopped in a minority area right on the border with the Kurdish-controlled region.
Right, so where are we?
We're on the outskirts of a town called Karakosh, primarily a Christian town.
As soon as we arrived, armed men emerged.
Can I ask why he's got a weapon?
Omar said Christians had taken up arms to defend themselves against attack. He was part of a militia called the Church Guardians.
They're here to protect the Christians because they're under threat from Arabs and Kurds, from terrorists, from attacks, they say, and they have to protect themselves. What do you have? Can you show me? Is it an AK? What, can you show me the weapon? What do you got there? Okay.
A crowd gathered, all wanting to tell us their stories. They said hundreds of Christians were being killed in this region. Asis said he'd been kidnapped by Arab gunmen and beaten with electric cables for a week.
He had to pay $30,000 to get released, and he believes he was kidnapped because for money, but also because he's Christian.
The Americans wanted us to leave. Standing for any length of time in the open wasn't safe, they said. As we drove through the town, we noticed people gathering at a large church and asked to stop.
Okay, so we've stopped here at one of the main churches in Karakosh. It's Easter Friday. What I'm noticing is over here to my left, you can see these guys with AK-47 automatic rifles, also with police security. So obviously they're very, very aware. Why have you got so much security?
They told us that churches are often attacked, and today was especially tense.
It's packed inside, they say, for Easter Friday. This is about as far as we can go with the American security because they're not allowed to go into the church or too close to the church. They also want to avoid too big crowds.
US troops have orders not to enter churches as it increases the risk of insurgent attacks on the Christians. Since the security handover, it's now the job of the Iraqi security forces to protect civilians. The Americans will only carry out their own combat missions if they themselves are attacked.
All right, anybody with any IED paraphernalia? All right, more than likely, if IED goes off, all right, you scan.
We went on a night mission.
Obviously, no good. All right, any questions on that?
Yes, sir.
Being taken to another forward post, a joint security station run by the Americans, where they're based about 30 kilometres south of Mosul, and it's a place that we're told is under regular attack. It's the most active area in this part of the country for the Americans.
We were told the route was regularly attacked with improvised explosive devices, roadside bombs known as IEDs.
It used to be a highly trafficked route where we had no choice but to cross here. Three IEDs were detonated here before we showed up, of increasing size each time. So we check it out every time.
There were no IEDs on the road, but tonight's mission was also to hunt down insurgent mortar teams who attack the Americans almost every day.
So we're heading out on what's called a hunter and killer operation, where they're going to go out, they're going to set this patrol on a hilltop. They're going to send out some designated marksmen, they call them, to be lying in wait for a mortar team to come out of the nearest town.
2 days ago we got mortared. It didn't hit. The last one we got actually hit one of the chews that we live in. Thank God there was no one in it, though.
Aggie, ready? Yep. All right.
The snipers moved forward.
If something happens, they see somebody, all these guys are going to rush forward and try and kill the insurgents. They have to wait now for several hours.
No insurgents were spotted that night, but 2 days later, two of the soldiers from this unit were killed by a roadside bomb. The time we had planned to spend with the Americans was drawing to a close. We returned to Camp Mares, the main US base here. The American withdrawal is based on the notion that Iraq is stable, but from what we had seen in this part of the country, there is no stability. Yet the atmosphere here was very much one of a mission nearing its end.
There's a group of American servicemen, all Iraq war veterans, getting off the plane now, and we're told they're here to seek some sort of closure for their injuries.
We were told that coming back was meant to help these men deal with the trauma. One had lost an arm in the battle for Fallujah in 2004.
Why have you come back then?
I've come back because I wanted to see all the work that we've done. I have lots of friends that have made sacrifices. I've had friends that died, and I wanted to see the fruition of all our work and see how the Iraqis are policing themselves. And it's actually really inspiring.
This place is still far from secure, isn't it? How do you feel when you, having gone through what you've gone through, when you see that and that potential?
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I think we got to move on.
We're told these soldiers have come back here seeking some sort of personal closure on their horrific injuries, but it does seem hard for them to reconcile their personal loss with the continuing conflict here.
The Americans have suffered large-scale casualties in Iraq. As they prepare to leave, in this part of the country at least, it seems they'll be fighting to the last. As we left our military embed, we still wanted to hear more from the people who will be left behind when US troops leave. A US helicopter dropped us off in the Kurdish-controlled area, 80 miles east of Mosul. Strict Kurdish security in this part of Iraq has seen violence fall, and many refugees have fled here from the fighting in and around Mosul.
And we're now in an area which is strictly controlled by Kurdish troops, which is the only reason we're able to operate without flak jackets and without being surrounded by lots of American soldiers.
We wanted to return to Karakosh, the Christian town we'd visited with the Americans, and were told it would be safer to approach from the Kurdish side. We'd been picked up by Christian contacts from the town who agreed to take us there.
We're now going through a checkpoint which we're told is a joint checkpoint between the Iraqi police and Christian militia. We're right on the outskirts of Karakosh now.
Only locals are waved through the checkpoints that ring the town to prevent insurgents getting in. This enclave is now home to many Christians who were forced out of Mosul, just 25 miles away.
And to get a better understanding of some of the violence that's been occurring in Mosul, we've made contact with a journalist from one of the local TV channels here.
Ghazwan Al-Shamam is one of the very few independent journalists still operating here. He works for a Christian-run TV channel and risks his life by filming in Mosul.
So you've got some footage of Mosul?
Yeah.
He took these pictures of a recent bomb attack on a church.
It was targeting one of the Christian churches inside Mosul, and the blast went into a large number of homes on the other side of the road, killing 32 people and injuring many more, most of them Christians, but also Muslims. Why are Christians targeted, and who's killing them?
لا قائد عملياتي جاوب ولا السيد المحافظ جاوب ولا السيد قائد الشرطة الاتحادية.
The authorities never seem to find out who's behind the killings, he said.
He says, we know there are 9 terrorist organisations operating in Mosul. They are from the Sunni Arab group, from the Kurds, from other groups, but these groups are never named and never pursued by the police.
Many hundred Christians have been killed in and around Mosul over the past 3 years. Ghazouan showed me footage of the funeral of Faraj Raho, the former bishop of Mosul. He, three of his deacons and his driver were killed last year during a botched kidnap attempt.
It was a very moving scene, seeing hundreds, possibly thousands of people on the street there, all Christians.
Karakosh is a strange sort of sanctuary. Although safer than nearby Mosul, the people here live in fear. Insurgents are only kept at bay by the 1,000-strong militia, the Church Guardians, who had met earlier with the Americans.
Okay, so we've heard of Christians who have been attacked in Mosul, but it's taken us a lot of time to try and get somebody to speak to us. They're all extremely nervous. They seem very, very scared. Nobody really wants to talk on camera, but we have found one person who's willing to talk to us.
We'd arranged to meet a priest who'd fled to Karakosh following a brutal attack. Brother Mazan Ishu told us that in February of this year, three Arab gunmen had burst into his family home.
His father and brothers then tried to push them out of the home. The gunmen then opened fire, killing his father and two brothers.
He and his elderly mother survived the attack. The priest said the Americans may believe they've delivered democracy here, but that's not the reality for minorities like the Christians who are facing regular attacks.
And even though there are police and security and army, Iraqi army, all over the streets in Mosul, the attacks on us continue and they increase, and the authorities, the security authorities, don't seem to be doing anything about it.
We moved further east to the city of Erbil, capital of the Kurdish held part of Iraq. Thousands of families have taken refuge here in the Christian suburb of Ankawa because of the violence in other parts of the country.
How are you?
We arranged to meet a woman and her daughter who had moved from Mosul. Iman said things are getting much worse. Gunmen are bursting into Christian homes and killing them, or they're attacking them in their shops and businesses. They're even being shot in the street. She told me there was a growing belief that Iraq is an Islamic country. Islamist groups in Mosul don't want Christians there, and they're targeting them. Most have already left, she said.
She says there is no future for Christians there anymore.
There used to be 1 million Christians in Iraq. Half have now fled the country. Their crisis started as a result of the American invasion. It's now the battle between the Shia, Sunni and Kurds that is driving them away.
The Americans kept telling us that they've increased security and as they get ready to leave, they've delivered a workable democracy to Iraq. But from what we've seen in and around Mosul, there are people who have been living together for centuries being driven apart. And dangerous new sectarian divisions are emerging, which many here believe are going to lead to worse violence.
If you'd like to know more about this subject or anything else on Unreported World, please visit our website at channel4.com/unreportedworld.
Next Friday from 7:35, Unreported World discovers the child miners of Bolivia.